Gaz, the beat maker.
Living unapologetically.
Rolling on, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic, even though we're in the middle of election battles, we got kids doing remote learning. We're still rolling.
Yes, we are.
Yes, it's still things to talk about. It's still things going on with people in their everyday lives. So we're rolling right on. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce my very, very special guest. I'm so excited about this guest. None other than Miss Ann Livingston. I'm going to let her tell you about herself. So I'm not going to give her introduction. I'm going to let her tell you about who she is and why she is a special guest to me. Go ahead, Ann.
Well, thank you. So my name is Ann Livingston. I'm a writer, speaker, storyteller, mentor, nomad, all of the above. My background is in early childhood education. I was a teacher for 7 years. And ultimately what happened was I lost my teaching career due to school closures. And at that moment in time, I decided that I never again wanted anyone to tell me whether or not I had a job and how much money I could make. And so I became an entrepreneur. Well, I became a nanny. And then while I was nannying, I started to build my business on the side. And I got to the point where I was like, I was making transformations within my own life. I knew I had this background in education. And I thought, you know what, if I can change my life, I know that I can teach other people how to change their lives. Yeah. And so that's ultimately where I started with my coaching career. And I've been a coach or mentor of some sort for the last 7 years, but it was really, you know, you and I talk about my book, Radical Rebirth. There was really a pivotal moment in my life where a relationship ended. I hit rock bottom. I was at the beginning of my spiritual awakening, and I realized that all of these patterns in my life that were allowing me to self-sabotage, specifically in relationships, were no longer serving me. And so I decided to take full responsibility, radical responsibility of my life. Mm-hmm. And I received this intuitive hit that I call the whisper of your soul that ultimately told me to sell everything I owned in my 2-bedroom apartment and live full time on the road with my 2 cats. I lived an intuitively nomadic life for 3 years. Again, traveling solely based off of where my intuition was guiding me. And that's ultimately me in a nutshell.
I love it. I love it. You already know we've talked about it. I love it. I think that it is an awesome place to be as a woman, and definitely in this times that we are living in, to say, hey, I'm living a nomadic lifestyle, but I still know where I am in my life and why I'm here at this point in my life. I love it. I love it. Now we're going to talk a little bit about, I love the introduction. It was phenomenal. We're gonna talk about a little bit about that relationship that you said that's where you knew then that you were right before your spiritual awakening. Now, how did that relationship you think contribute to that spiritual awakening?
Well, ultimately, so before that relationship, I was in a marriage. I was married for, I was with that man and married for a total of 4.5 years. And the relationship was emotionally and verbally abusive. And when I was in that marriage, in an abusive relationship, I started to have the beginning sense of, I'm worth more. There's more to life than this. I deserve to be happy. And so I left the marriage, we got divorced. And shortly after I officially got divorced, I met the man who you're referencing. And I was very intentional about calling him into my life. So I was journaling out what I wanted. I knew what I wanted it to feel like. I was envisioning, I was doing all of that work. The problem was that I hadn't done enough of the internal work. So even though I called him into my life, mm-hmm. I didn't believe that I was actually worthy of having him.
Wow.
And so because I didn't feel like I was worthy of having him, that's where the self-sabotage patterns came in, right? Okay. The jealousy, I was severely codependent. I never really trusted that he actually wanted to be with me. Every time he said, you're so amazing, I didn't believe him. Okay. And so I went from being in a marriage where I couldn't use my voice. It wasn't safe for me to speak my truth and to express myself. And I overcompensated by being the abusive one in the next relationship because I didn't know how to use my voice. And so I was like, finally I have the space where I can really express myself, but I wasn't doing it in a healthy way. And he, I give him a lot of credit. He finally got to the point where he was like, no, like the boundary set, I don't deserve to be treated this way, which he didn't. He didn't deserve to be treated that way. And so the relationship ended, and I chose in that moment that I was not going to get into another relationship until I healed all of the things that were coming up in that relationship. And that was 4 years ago and still single. So I feel that I'm fully healed. It's just now I'm at a different level. And so I'm waiting for my man to, you know, to come in. But that's ultimately what it was just, I went from being in an abusive relationship to overcompensating. And then there's a whole healing journey where you kind of recalibrate and you're like, okay, I can express myself, but it's in a healthy way.
I agree. I totally agree. I had saw a quote online a few weeks ago, and I think it's perfect. Heal people hear differently. And because I had to go through that same healing journey I told you before when we talked with in my own previous marriage, when you say key words, I hear what you're saying, and you are in your healed stage because I can hear it, because I had to go through it as well. And as you say, when you go through that self-sabotaging point and you don't realize it until you're into another relationship, that all that baggage that you brought from that first relationship, marriage, all that self-sabotaging, you take it into the new one, and then you wonder why the new one is not working out. And sometimes a lot of people, and it was a good thing that you caught it and you understood that that was baggage that you were bringing from the marriage. A lot of people would just flip it and reverse it. I call it reverse psychiatry, and say that it was your new relationship mate. It was their fault. And when really you really brought baggage from that marriage, like you say, where you wasn't allowed to do the talking, you wasn't allowed to be in the living your truth. My headset is acting up. where you weren't allowed to live in your truth, but now you are in this new relationship, but now you're in the whole self-sabotaging. And that's, like you say, that's when the jealousy creeps in. That's when the insecurity starts to show. Those are very good points that I hear with you. And like I say, me and you talk openly about this. I do know that's what happens when you come from relationships that are domestic, whether if it's emotional, mental, or if it ever gets to the physical aspect. I love it. Good point. Now when you were married, did you ever know at some point that this early on that the red flags were there, that this wasn't an equally yoked marriage? Because I think when we talked before, I think when you had pointed out to me that when you knew, I think that was like amazing. When you told me you knew, I was like, you knew, that's when you knew. go ahead, elaborate.
Yeah, I knew. Like, I saw it while we were dating. Okay. Because I wanted a man who would call me out on my shit, right? I was like, I want someone who will like stand up, and because I can be very powerful and forceful. I'm very feisty. So I wanted someone who would kind of not put me in my place in like a negative way, but I wanted someone who would stand up to me, because I can steamroll people very easily. And so I didn't realize that he could call me out on things, but I couldn't call him out on things. And so it was always one-sided. And when I started to realize that, I was like, this doesn't feel good. But I kept thinking, and I think this is very common in abusive relationships, where it's when something else happens, then he will finally be happy, and then it'll calm the waters, right? So it was like, once he's unhappy in his job right now, once he gets another job, then things will finally calm down. Okay, when we move to a city where he'll be happier, then things will finally calm down. Once we get engaged, things will calm down. Once we get married, it was just like, it was always, once this thing in the future happens, then, and it never happened. Things were always tumultuous. And then the moment when I really realized that I was in too deep was on my wedding day. But it was like we had been engaged, we were already living together, and I felt like I was on this roller coaster that I didn't know how to get off of. You know, it was like, at what point do you get off? Because it's, you know, I'm already living with him. Okay, well, crap, now we're engaged. Okay, well, now, you know, we already have put deposits down on the wedding. Oh, well, now people have their plane tickets, people are buying gifts. Like, you get to this point where you feel like you're in too far and you don't know how to get out. And so on my wedding day, I knew I was marrying the wrong man, which is not typically how you want to show up to your wedding day. But I didn't know how to get out until it got to the point. There was one night where a water glass was thrown across the room. The glass shattered on the wall. And I was like, I'm done, you know? Mm-hmm. And there were some other things too, but yeah, it was just, I had that really true realization where I didn't feel safe and I didn't want to live in a relationship where I didn't feel safe. 'Cause I didn't know how far it was going to go.
Okay. Okay. I agree. Now, when you decided to actually start on your journey, now, did you wait till the divorce was final before you decided to go ahead and say, I'm going to go ahead and pack up and move on?
Yeah, because so I had been married. I got divorced in October of 2015. Okay. And then I met someone after that. So there was a relationship after my marriage.
Okay.
And the relationship after my marriage that ended in December of 2016. Mm-hmm. And then it was February of 2017 when I got the intuitive hit that was to sell everything and leave.
Okay. Now, how was that? Let's talk about when you decided to pack up and you decided to sell everything and pack the car up and hit the road. What do you think was the turning point when you actually listened and said, okay, let me start actually selling these things. Let me start getting myself in gear to go ahead and leave.
So there were a few things that led up to it. And I want to make sure the audience understands that I set very strong intentions. I didn't know the power of intention back then.
Right.
Intention is very powerful. Mm-hmm. So in January of 2017, I set the intention to be the most authentic version of myself. I think shortly after that, I had a conversation with God, called it universe at the time, but now I call that energy God. And I said, bring it on, whatever it is. Be mindful of saying, bring it on to God. 'Cause that, right. Some things will come into your
mind. I agree. Yeah.
You know, it becomes very powerful. So be mindful of how you speak to God. Mm-hmm. And then in February, I went to a gong bath at a local yoga studio. All and right. I had this moment where it felt like an out of body experience. And I remember ultimately surrendering my life to God. I said, God, use me. And so that was a very strong intention that I didn't realize the power of. And then it was maybe a week or 2 weeks after that intention, I got the intuitive hit that was sell everything and hit the road. I didn't have a car. I had two cats.
Wow.
I didn't believe that I had a business that was sustainable enough. All I knew was I felt like, even though my ego was coming in saying, this doesn't make sense. You don't have enough money. You don't have a car, like giving me all the reasons it wasn't logical.
Right.
I still felt in my being, I felt in my gut that was like, I just wonder where this will lead. I wonder what will happen. And so I just decided to trust it. You know, I was like, let's just see what happens. 'Cause I had this knowing that it was for a bigger purpose. I didn't know what the purpose was. I just knew deep in my soul that it was for something bigger. And so against everyone else's opinion, which they were not favorable opinions for me to do this.
Right.
I just said, I have to do it. Yeah.
I can imagine.
There weren't a whole lot of people that were like, that sounds like a fantastic idea. It's really safe and secure.
Right.
And so I did it, but a big reason I really went ahead with it, Seeley, was the fact that I realized I didn't know who I was and what I wanted. And I realized that I had been living someone else's vision. And so I was like, you know, when I go out on the road and I'm living this, you know, nomadic life, which I just thought as a, you know, however long road trip, you know, I didn't know what it was going to be. And I just kept having this vision of being on the road with my cats in the back seat,
right.
Like figuring things out. You know, it's like you see in the movies, like the women driving and they're just like, I left my old life behind and and it's like, it's not that glamorous. It's not as glamorous as you see in the movies. But it changed me. It completely changed me. And I'm the woman I am today because of all of those things that happened.
I agree. I tell you, as I told you before, you know, I relocated from Chicago to Houston. And you know, cause that's one of our connections as well. But I totally understand where you're coming from. When you say it changed me leaving my hometown and relocating to a whole nother region, packing up everything I knew, every person I knew. You have to restart and relaunch your whole entire life all over again. And at the time when you're doing it, you're not like in your early teens, your early 20s. This is my mid 30s. But it was what I needed. Where I am at now, it's what I needed. I was so comfortable, but I was, like you said, I was not living my authentic life. It was not where I should have been, where God wanted me to be at that point in time. I was comfortable. I had what they want to consider a quote unquote good job. You know, we lived good. It was safe. It was a safe living, you know, go to work, come home, the nice house, the nice, two car, you know, it's the white picket fence life, but you're not really living in your truth. And so it's like, so you want me to sell everything? Cause we went through the whole selling. We didn't sell everything, but we sold like small things and got rid of like SS type of stuff, you know, and repress, reset on everything that we know, everybody that we know. And it was the best decision ever. It was the best decision. And like you say, family and friends was like, you're going to do what? You know what I'm saying? You're going to leave your good job. Like both of you are going to leave your good job. Like y'all got to be crazy. Like you don't have, and you don't have any family. You don't have any friends there. So you don't got nobody. You can go sleep on their couch. Like you all are going to just wing this. Like, yeah, we are. We got this. Yep. You know, we are. We got this. But that's why I said when we paired up, and like I told you, I started reading your book, Radical Rebirth. This is her book. You're going to go get it. I'm going to put the link for Amazon down below. It was like, this is exactly the reason why I birthed the podcast, because Radical Rebirth is exactly saying when you get that vision, I'm not living in my truth. I'm living everybody else's stereotypical happy lives. You know, the whole go to college, get a good job, work until we're 65 or 70, and then we retire, and then that's when most sickness set in, and then, you know, God forbid, then we go ahead and transition on. And it's like, that's not the conducive of life. I don't want to live life like that. Just working a regular 9 to 5, just doing this until I'm 65. Like, no, you know, you know, and taking maybe 2 vacations a year. Maybe, you know, you go see your family, your friends. Like, no, this is kind of rocky living like this, you know, just packing up, moving, but you're learning along the way and it develops your character. So yes, I was cheering for you when you first told me that you lived a nomadic life, because I think it's amazing. And because it develops your character more than you staying in the same city you were born in, working the same job for 30 years, living in the same house for 20 years. It develops your character way much more of all the things you've seen, all the things you've endured, and you rebuild yourself when you move. You have to rebuild your whole life. Everything that you have to start from the bottom up. So I love it. I love it. Talk about your journey of once you actually started living a nomadic life. What was that like for somebody listening in that want to say that I want to take this journey as well? What should they expect with the nomadic lifestyle? is it champagne and caviar every night?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100% of the time.
I mean, you know, I just want to know, are you hanging out by the pool with hot guys every night? I mean, I just want to know.
First of all, it is my journey. I can't say what anyone else's journey will be like, but my journey was not like anyone else's. And as much as I had a lot of anger towards God, I was like, hold up, everyone else gets to live this amazing life, and then here I am not knowing how to pay my bills. Money's not coming in. Like, I hit rock bottom after rock bottom after rock bottom after rock bottom. So it's like, you hear my story and you're like, well, great. Like, you just failed a whole bunch. And I did, I failed a lot. But I, like you said, it developed my character. What I learned along the way, so I stayed in 3 years, I stayed in over 40 Airbnbs.
Wow.
And I traveled solely based off of my intuition. So what I mean by that, for people who don't understand, because again, most people don't live their life this way. You know how when you feel attraction towards someone, it doesn't even have to be romantic, but just when you feel that energetic pull towards someone, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what that feels like. I was basically tapping into that with the United States. So it was like, where did I feel energetically pulled to? And then when I noticed in my body that I was feeling energetically pulled somewhere, I had an atlas and a pendulum. And I pulled out the Alice and the Pendulum, and I basically double checked because I was cultivating this trust. I was cultivating this relationship with my intuition, learning how to trust what I feel in my body so that I can trust what I feel versus what I see in the right. external world. And so I would check with the Atlas and the Pendulum. And then when I got a general area of where I was going, I would pull up the Airbnb website mm-hmm. and I would zoom in on the map there. And it was based off of how much money I had in my bank account. And I would kind of read the energy of the picture. So I'm incredibly empathic. I'm very intuitive wow. and I can pick up on things very, very easily. And this developed over the last 3 years. And so that's ultimately how I chose where I was going. But there were also moments where I would stay in an Airbnb for a night because that's all I had in my bank account at the time. And I was like, we'll figure out tomorrow when tomorrow comes.
Wow.
there were moments where I, you know, had like $9 in my bank account and I left the Airbnb the next day. And I was like, I don't know where I'm going, but I know a place is going to appear. And so I had a moment where I was sitting in my car at a park eating lunch. I had $9 in my bank account. And I had a friend say to me, I can put you up in a hotel. I have enough points, but you know, I had cats, so I needed enough money for the pet fee. And I said, I don't have money for the pet fee, but I'm sure something will work out. And at first my ego came in, which is the voice of fear, right? The voice of fear came in and was like, this person owes you money, reach out to them and ask you for money. And I was really learning how to trust God in those moments. I was really mm-hmm. learning how to trust that I was always going to be supported. No matter what the external world showed, I was always going to be supported. Mm-hmm. And so I paid attention to the, yes, this person does owe you money. And yes, you could ask. However, wait, just wait and feel into what does it feel like to sleep in a hotel for a week? What will it feel like when you check in that night and you crawl into bed? It was like really visualizing and then trusting. Mm-hmm. And so I sat there and I practiced calming down my nervous system and the fear and the worry and all of that. And I'm telling you, within 20 minutes, I had someone send me money that I didn't ask. It was one of the people who owed me money. I never asked for it, mm-hmm. but they sent it to me. Mm-hmm. And so I started, I had a lot of moments like that. I also had moments where I was making a lot of money and paying for Airbnbs was no big deal. Like, so there were a lot of ups and downs, but what the biggest lesson that I learned aside from learning to trust myself was understanding that my safety and security doesn't come from anything external. It's always within, right? And it comes from God, but it's we're taught in this world to only believe what we see mm-hmm. instead of what we feel and what we really know, you know, to be true. And it was powerful. And, you know, when I sit back and reflect on the last 3 years, cause I'm now grounded, in Phoenix. I just signed a lease last month, but I'll still travel. Don't you worry. I'll still travel around. But, I have a home for the cat.
So okay.
That's
okay.
Basically what it is. But
well, you can always come back to Texas.
You know, Cela, like I would never, even though my journey was very difficult, it was very difficult. Like, I'm not going to kid anyone, but it was sacred to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like I sit and I reflect on the last 3 years and I'm like, I wouldn't trade it for anything at all because it was such a sacred experience. And, you know, I had another woman reach out to me. She's becoming a nomad at the end of the month. And she was like, is it like we see on YouTube? I was like, it wasn't my journey. Mm-hmm. I'm not a digital nomad though. So, mm-hmm. you know, each person's journey is going to be totally different.
Yeah. And I think too, with the YouTube, the digital nomads, the ones I've seen on YouTube, I think they save quite a bit and plan sometimes years in advance. Cause I know a lot of them, some of my couples, they're planning like now for like 3 years from now to live the nomadic lifestyle. And they're going to sell everything and they're paying off all their debts and everything. So it was different for you because when you listened and you got your spiritual awakening, you acted then. It wasn't like you planned this out for like 2 years and you like paid off all your debts and you had an account where you were building all this money and money. Cause that's like you said, that digital nomadic life is different. Because a lot of them are, you know, they save sometimes 50, 80 grand where they're living literally in different countries and everything, on their savings. And you didn't have that type of, you know, cushion of a savings, but you went off of that spiritual within you listened that said, no matter what, I'm going to be good. I'm going to go. I'm not going to hold myself back. and wait until, that was good. I love when you say, wait until what I can see it, because I already know it's already done in the spirit. It just hasn't, I can't see it in the physical, but it's already done that I'm going to be good. I'm going to be taken care of. It may not be the champagne and caviar every night, but I'm going to make it past this journey. And that's why I say, I think that that's amazing. The nomadic lifestyle, even from your point, even though it wasn't the digital one that we see on YouTube, that's all, you know, glitz and glamour, it still was meaningful because you listened and followed that spiritual that you felt within, that not now is the time. Not, I can't wait a year, not 2 years, now. I need to get moving right now.
Well, and the other thing too, is that, you know, one thing I get asked a lot right now, everything in our world right now is like on edge. Everyone is tense, right? There's a lot going on. And people ask me all the time, like, how are you so calm? I'm like, cause I lived with like nothing for 3 years, you know, like, I mean, there was, and not that I had nothing, of course, like, again, there were ups and downs, but I had moments where I had nothing and I had to learn how to calm my nervous system down and be, you know, grateful and feel abundant and feel, you know, at peace and joyful, regardless of what the external was showing me. I don't give my power away to the external world. I always hold on to and embody my power. And so I'm like, thank God I learned how to do that. Because otherwise, I mean, you know, like, and I would be up in arms right now.
And I think that's true, because a lot of people are so stressed right about now because everything is going on in the world. And but when you're at that peace, because you went through it, where you're not placing your values on the outside, on everything. So a lot of people are freaking out, like, oh my God, every day they go to work. Okay, are they going to hand me a pink slip today? Because the economy is not doing well and their company may shut down. So you're putting your faith in that company that is today to day that they're going to decide my fate, and I'm going to have to downsize my house. I'm going to have to give my car back. They're putting their faith in what happens at this company, instead of, like you always say, is you be the one to decide your fate, your future. You determine, don't wait in this, the outside eternal. And that's what I had to learn, that a lot of the stress that we put on, I don't know, a lot of people, when they say anxiety, a lot of it is self-induced. It's not that the outside world is doing it to us. It's us doing it to ourselves. And you come down off anxiety attack by calming down and breathing and stop stressing yourself, because that feeling makes you feel like you're going to have a heart attack, like the room is closing in on you, because you, like you said, you're allowing the outside external factors to tell you that, oh, I have to be doing something now. Everything is not working out. I'm not where I should be. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And you're just so focused on what the outside world is saying and doing to you. But that's, again, what I say, that comes from living your nomadic lifestyle, because like you said, you were down to your bare essentials from living from day to day. And you wasn't waiting on a boss at a big corporate job to say, and today's your last day. And so then you have to go over to Toyota, your car company, and not saying she has a Toyota, but you know, and say, okay, this is your last car payment you're going to get from me this month. I don't know if I'm going to make next month. Like, you didn't wait for someone else to tell you, are you going to live next month? And it depends on if I decide to give you this pink slip or not, if you're going to live. It's like, no, I'm not going to be fake. And that's why I think everyone, they're like, how is she so calm? Because your fate is not relying on outside factors. You're relying on and your higher being to say, no matter what happens, I'm going to get through this week, this month, next month, regardless. So I think that that's what's important. That's the reason why I told you I birthed the podcast originally, was because unapologetically living was because people were living conventional lifestyles. I was one of them, that they really wasn't authentically happy. And like you hit a big factor, their strength, their stress, everything came from the outside influence, even though they wasn't happy from day to day. We were just taught to live this safe, happy lifestyle if everything is all in place. If we just know, if we know, okay, we're going to this job tomorrow. We're gonna get in this car tomorrow. We're gonna go on this vacation trip this year. Everything is lined up and seems safe. But what happens when you stop living that patterned, stereotypical life and really say, I'm gonna take a dive and try something different and live life a different way? So I'm really, 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 really impressed and intrigued with your nomadic lifestyle. Even though I'm happy you finally settled in Arizona. do you see yourself going back and maybe in a few years going back on the road again? How long do you think you're gonna stay in Arizona for a little bit?
I think I'll stay here for a little while. Basically, how I have my schedule set up is I take 1 week off a month. So I'm also a podcaster. I'm a writer. I'm a mentor, but specifically from the podcasting, I take 1 week off a month where if I want to go to a cabin with no Wi-Fi, I can do that, you know? my intention is to travel once a month, to take that week off, travel somewhere. And it kind of gives me the balance of, you know, because building what I'm building right now, I feel like I needed 3 years to really get clarity on who I am, why I'm here, what my actual mission and purpose is in the world. Mm-hmm. And now that I have a lot of clarity around how I want to show up and serve others, I needed some sort of stability to actually show up and do the thing, you know? And so then I get the best of both worlds. I have my stability. I can sit here. I can work. I can do all that. And then I can go live freely and travel once a month too.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That does give you a lot of balance. I love it. It's wrapping up. Is there any last minute things that you want to say to any woman, whether they're married, single, divorced, no matter their situation? What would you say to women that are saying that I feel stuck and I feel like I'm not living in my truth? How can I get to that point where I finally am centered to live in my truth?
The first thing is that in order to be honest and speak your truth to other people, you first have to be honest with yourself. Okay. You cannot be honest with other people until you are honest with yourself about what you want, who you are and what you want. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing would just be to remember that there's no perfect time. Okay. You know, like there's just no perfect time. I hear all the time like, oh, I can't wait to do that thing I want to share with you guys, you know, I just moved into this place last month, but I'm starting from scratch. I have nothing. I have a chair, an air mattress, and then some other things, but I don't have like a great place to record. And I'm a podcaster just like Celie, and I have an air mattress like pressed up against the wall to try to absorb the sound, but it's not really working. I'm in a hallway and it's just like, you just do it. You know what I mean? Like when you feel the calling and you're like, I don't know how it's going to work out. It's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Just do it anyway. It's never going to be perfect. So when you feel that pull, when you feel that nudge, just take the next step, whatever that next step is.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Totally. I agree. Cause that's exactly the way I felt. Even still, I felt like I'm not ready to do the podcast. I'm not ready to get on camera. I'm not there yet. And it's like, but I'm feeling the nudge. Like now is the time. Like, oh, I'm gonna wait till after January, after the New Year's. Like, no, someone needs to hear these stories. They need to hear the conversations. They need this now. So I really agree with you. Well, this is not gonna be our last time chatting. As I told you before. As I told you before, this is the beginning of a friendship and also a business, because I'm going to need you personally for my own endeavors that I have going on. Definitely anyone want to reach out to Anne. She is an author. She is also a mentor. She's a writing coach. If you need to get your story out, you need to process where you are in your journey, reach out to her. She will also mentor you for your journey. And as well as if you want to get your story out in a book format, in a video format, however you want to tell your story, she will help you get to that point where you can get it out and not keep your journey to yourself. Reach out to her.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna put her contact information below, or you can reach out to me. I will make sure you can get to her, because she's definitely what I call a badass. She is.
Love it. I received that.
You are a badass, and I love it. I love it, because you're taking charge of who you are. You're causing trouble, but it's good trouble.
I am.
It's good trouble. It's good trouble. And I think more women need to learn. We don't have to be safe. Safe women know what they say. Good women, safe women never make history. You it's know, true. So it's like, it's be yourself, authentically who you are. I love it. Well, we're going to be wrapping up and I'm not going to hold you out no more longer. I love talking with Miss Ann. I could talk to her for hours because we're in the same journey.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to put the contact information from below so you can reach out to her because I'm definitely going to keep in contact with her for my own personal. I thank you all for tuning in and listening. I'll be back later on this week with some more amazing guests. As I say, always be yourself. Live your unapologetic life. Make your own memories. Make your own opportunities. Create them for yourself. Don't wait for no one else to create your opportunities for you. As always, be who you are. I'll talk to you all later. Anne, are you still there?
Thank you. Yes, right. Thank you so much.
No problem. I'll talk to you later. We'll out. Bye-bye.
Fearless is not the absence of fear. It's living life with fear, but jumping anyway, accomplishing your goals.